When I was young, when I was a little closeted gay 14-year-old in San Antonio, Texas, I liked a very specific sort of song. Songs by the likes of people like Rick Astley and Taylor Dane and Pebbles. There was a few things that made them up. There was a drum machine. It generally went... There was generally a synth hit, which is that sound that went... Bun, 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 bun. And then there was a big sweaty woman in the background being like... Ah! Time, sweat, music, woo! Now, my dad liked really different music than me. My dad, Larry, was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. He's a good old boy. He wore trucker hats, pearl button cowboy shirts, and he liked Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings, Patsy Cline, that kind of stuff. And if you were to see him next to me in my hyper-color shirt with my, like, bleach bangs and my cargo shorts looking sort of like a chubby lesbian that worked at a water park, you would be like, wow, these two people are very different from each other. Needless to say, my dad really supported all of my interests that I had as a kid. And at any point, whenever I wanted to do something new, my dad was always there with a credit card. Like, how much money is the saxophone cost? You know, just like ready to help me out. Now, at this point, I guess I was about 13 years old, and I had a new interest. Do you guys remember the show Silver Spoons with Ricky Schroeder? Yeah? I love that show. I loved Rick Schroeder. I loved The Mansion. I loved The Choo-Choo. I loved his ethnic friend, Alfonso. I loved everything about that show. And I thought, you know, I could make a show like that. I want to make a show like that. And for my birthday, I want a video camera. And my dad took out the credit card, and he bought me, because video cameras then were like $8,000, and they were like the size of an industrial toaster. They were just these giant VHS nightmares. And he bought me this video camera, and I was so excited. And the first day I got it, I took it out. I was going to make this very complex science fiction movie. Alone, because I had no friends, I literally had like a flying saucer I made of marker, like on poster board, on like a meter stick that I would like hold and film. It was a nightmare. I tried to film this thing all day, and then I came home and I was so pissed, and I threw the camera in the back of the closet, and I said, "Screw that!" And then it hit me: I don't want to make Silver Spoons. The only great part of that experience I liked was the acting. I want to be Ricky Schroeder. And I immediately told my mother, "Mom, I want to take an acting class." So she signed me up for the John Casablanca School of Acting and Modeling class. Now, as I'm taking this class, I tell my dad, I'm like, "Dad, I really didn't like the video camera. I'm really sorry." And he's pissed off because this is just another thing that I was going to do that I've now just sort of forgotten about and moved on. Now, my dad at that time worked on the road. He lived out of a Winnebago as a fiber optic technician. And he would drive all around down south, and I would see him like 1 week out of every month. And at this point in my life, this amazing thing had just happened where he had been traveling through Georgia and he met this woman named Young. And Young was a Korean lady. And to me, this was the most exotic and exciting thing that had ever happened to me in my life. The idea that I could have a stepmom who is a real-life Asian lady was amazing to me as a little white boy growing up in San Antonio, Texas in the early 80s, right? Now, I had a very limited exposure to Asian culture at this point in my life. There was one Asian girl at my school. There was a woman named Van who dyed my mom's hair in the mall. And then there was the show Kung Fu with David Carradine. And because I sort of had ADD, I lost the thread that he wasn't supposed to be Asian. I didn't get that he was white, so I was just like, who isn't Asian if that's an Asian man? It was very confusing for me, do you know what I mean? So that was my exposure. So I had this very sort of like simple view of what Asian culture was. And I would have these daydreams about what my dad and Young would be doing on their trips. And I would just imagine that, you know, Young would make him dumplings and serve them on a plate with lychee blossoms. And then my dad would be wearing a white linen robe, trimming bonsai trees in a garden. And then as the sun set in the east, they would recline under bamboo chimes, and he would lovingly bind her feet. Now, I know that this is horrible. This is horrible, but this is how limited my exposure was to cultures outside of white, Caucasian, Southern people. Now, as I was sort of developing this complex internal fantasy about my future stepmom, my dad came home for a trip, and he said, "You know what, son? You're not using that camera. If you can give me that video camera, I'm going to take it on the road. I'm going to take a vacation with Young, and I can film it. And even though she lives far away, you never met her, I can come back, and we can watch the tape. You can kind of get to know her that way." And I was like, "That's awesome. Do it." So my dad took the video camera, went on a trip with Young. I continued my John Casablanca classes, doing really advanced scene work from things like Charles in Charge and Kate and Ally. And my dad went on the trip. He was gone a few weeks. He came back. He gave me back the camera. We had dinner together. After a few days, it was time for him to hit the road. So my dad leaves, hits the road, and later that night, he calls me, and he says, "Hi, DJ. you know, I don't know how to start this really, but I know you're my son, but I like to think of you as a friend. I would like to think that even though you're much younger and I'm much older, that you would consider me someone that you trust, whose word you honor. And I did the damnedest thing. I left a video in that video camera I returned to you, and I would really appreciate it, son, if you don't watch it. Now, I'm telling my dad I'm not going to watch it as I'm pulling the phone cord through like three rooms of my mom and I's apartment. Like, I'm reaching in the closet like, curiosity. I am going to watch that video. I'm going to watch it so intensely. I can't even imagine what my dad is trying to keep from me. Finally, I get off the phone. I take out the video, and I sit down in front of the television. My mom is still gone working at the mall, and I put it in the VCR. And as I put it in the VCR, I do have a moment, even at 11 years old, when I realize there are certain things you can't undo psychologically. There are things in this world that cannot be unseen. And nonetheless, I reach out and push play. We open on a hotel room. Tracking static. The camera is on the little table between the two beds facing the bureau and the mirror. And then my dad strolls out in full regalia. He is wearing a Tending Island cowboy hat and a pearl button cowboy shirt, tight Wrangler jeans and cowboy boots. And then with more vim and vigor than I've ever seen him do anything, he proceeds to belt out this song. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. How you doing, pretty little thing? Good to see you here. Don't let them drive pickups and drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. How you doing? Where y'all out from? Mamas, don't let your babies grow out to be cowboys. How y'all doing? My dad sings this song, and he is gesturing to throw pillows like they're real people, being like, how you doing, pretty little thing? Where y'all out from? Like, he's in the main stage of the rodeo. He is going nuts, and I have never seen my dad act like this at any point in my life. He sings and sings and sings and winks. He takes out a toothpick at one point and starts to pick his teeth like a good old boy. And then, slowly as the song ends, it ends in that way that all country songs ends, with a meow, meow. And then he poses. He does a little pose for the camera. And then he runs forward and he turns off the video camera. Now, I know that it's a very weird thing that I just described to you. It's probably a little bit weirder than what you thought I was going to say. Because it's just vulnerable. Do you know what I mean? I watched the video and I thought it was interesting because I didn't realize that my dad maybe also had a very complex internal life. A few days later, I returned the video, and it was like a weird drug deal. Like, hey, just going, how are you? Yep. Oh, good, man, I'm good. It was like that, and we did not discuss it. Now, many years have gone by, and this funny thing has happened. My dad, Larry, he retired a few years back. He had worked a very, very long time on the road. And, you know, I don't know what a lot of people do when they retire. They really get into online gaming or perfect their sun tea recipe. I don't know what they do. But my dad found this thing called SingSnap. SingSnap is an online social website, but it's all based around karaoke. It's just a website that has like thousands of MIDI files and instrumentals. So people make these little home studios and they sing these songs over the tracks and then they share them. My dad started this account. He's recorded 350 songs. He is friends with like 10,000 people. He has sung open duets with people that live in like Canada and Australia. And they like swap songs together. And there's this great function on the SingSnap where it's a little video camera, so you can actually see the person singing the song. And it's a very strange experience now when I go to SingSnap and I can log onto my dad's account and I can see him sitting there with his little bald head. Sometimes he wears his aviator sunglasses indoors just because I think he thinks it's cool. And he sings these songs smiling and laughing, and it just warms my heart. And the coolest thing about it is that finally, for once in my life, these are videos that I'm supposed to see. Thank you.